from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. It's not even Thursday. It's Wednesday, is it? I don't know what day it is. We're in the middle of like a massive blizzard here in Memphis, Tennessee, at the flagship station of our radio program. It is an honor to be with you, whatever day of the week it is. And we've got a lot going on today. We're going to be getting to your calls as well. Some great guests, including our good friend, the former White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, is going to drop by. That's going to be a fascinating interview. Looking forward to that coming up in the next hour of the three-hour program today. So let's just jump right into this. We have so much to talk about. Joe Biden, President Biden, at the town hall last night hosted by CNN. I am no medical expert. I am not a doctor. I have not been trained in the field of medicine. But I can tell you something is not right with that guy. And I don't know if it's if this is dementia, if this is some other kind of broader issue, but that man is not calling the shots inside the White House. That is my takeaway from last night. There's no way that Joe Biden is running the show. So my question is, who is running the show? And I don't think it's Kamala Harris. And we're going to play some audio from her in just a little bit. But I think she's completely clueless. And that has nothing to do with what's going on up in the noggin. But for Joe Biden, it's very clear to me this man is not qualified to be the leader of the free world. Something is not right there. The front porch light is on, but nobody's home. So Biden last night, and again, there were so many things coming out of that guy's mouth that were false. And Anderson Cooper was just a blithering idiot. I mean, the guy standing up there, and he did not push back. There were softball questions coming from the audience. And not once did Anderson Cooper correct the president on some very clear factual errors. I mean, these were flat out lies. But again, I don't want to call Biden a liar, because if the man does, in fact, have a medical condition, if he is suffering from dementia or senility or some other elderly medical issue, I don't want to be piling on here. But Joe Biden put himself out there, and it could be that he just doesn't remember. I mean, he may not remember that he had cottage cheese for lunch yesterday in the White House mess hall. This is how... how do we say this in the South? Touched in the head that our president may be. And again, we don't judge here. We're not mocking the man. But I'm telling you, based on what I saw last night, and I'm curious if you happen to watch this, many of you did not. And we told you, don't worry about it, because we had your back. This is what we do as a public service to our audience. We put ourselves out there and we watch the CNNs of the world. We watch the MSDNCs. We watch Fox News, so you don't have to. So we watched this nonsense last night. And I'm telling you, there were a whole lot of warning signs. And by the way, if Donald Trump had said half of the stuff that Biden said about black people, about minorities last night, they would have already run this guy. I mean, they would have been shouting Charlottesville from the rooftop. A lot of racist and racially tinged language coming out of the aged lips of President Joe Biden last night. So we're going to get into this. I want to start out with this this issue about the vaccine. So Joe Biden telling Anderson Cooper that, we didn't even have a vaccine until he came to office. Cut number four, please.
When you and I talked last, we talked about it's one thing to have the vaccine, which we didn't have when we came into office, but a vaccinator.
A vaccinator. Incorrect, sir. As a matter of fact, on our website, toddstarnes.com, we actually have photographs of Joe Biden getting not one vaccine, but two vaccines. He got his first dose and his second dose before he was inaugurated. This happened during the Trump administration. So he was either knowingly lying about this, or he just flat out doesn't know, because he doesn't have a clue where he is. He may think that he's actually the president of the local nursing home. I don't know. I don't know what's going up there. I don't know what's rattling around up in Joe Biden's head. But the man's either a liar or he is suffering from some sort of a medical condition. I mean, that's the only way to explain what he said last night, when there is plenty of factual evidence out there to prove that he's lying. It doesn't make any sense. Folks, part of me wants to blame Dr. Mrs. Jill Biden. And I think that she wants to be president more than he does. I think Mrs. Dr. Jill Biden is shoving her husband out there in the spotlight so she can be in the spotlight. That's what I think is possibly going on here. And quite frankly, this smells and looks a lot like elder abuse. I mean, this guy needs to be, you know, in some khakis with some maybe slippers, some fluffy furry slippers, sitting in a rocking chair, maybe petting the dog. What's the dog's name? Sergeant, Major, whatever. And drinking a cold beverage. That's what Joe Biden ought to be doing right now. And that's about as, honestly, that's about the level I think that he's working from right now. I just don't see how this guy can be leading the free world at this moment. I just don't get it. So anyway, Biden was asked a question about why the China virus is racist and why the China virus seems to be targeting black people more so than Caucasian people. And here's what he had to say about that. Cut number one.
The other portion is a lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination at the Walgreens or at the particular store.
I mean, it's as if he called the Proud Boys, very fine people. I mean, this guy, what he said was racist. This is ludicrous. Joe Biden says that black people in the country and black people in inner cities, the reason why they're not going out there and getting the vaccine is they don't know how to use the internet. You cannot make this stuff up. You know what? Let's play this cut again. Let's listen again.
The other portion is a lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination at the Walgreens or at the particular store.
Yeah, folks, I'm sorry. That remark is racist. What he just said is just outrageous. Unbelievable. So look, folks, we're going to take a break here. We do have some breaking news that just came across. We're going to get to that in just a moment. We've got to take a break here. We need to regroup real quick. Stick around. Major breaking news coming. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. And as I mentioned to you before, we had to take a break. We do have some breaking news to share with you. And this is very sad news, especially for those of you who are talk radio fans. Many of you over the past, year or so, have been praying for our good friend Rush Limbaugh, America's anchorman. And he has been dealing and just valiantly and bravely dealing with stage 4 lung cancer since January of 2020. And we got word just a few moments ago that Rush Limbaugh, El Rushbo, has passed away. Rush Limbaugh has gone on to glory. And we're reacting to this, and we are getting this news the same time you are. And so we're going to blow up what we're doing here for this radio program for the first hour. And we're going to talk about the impact that Rush Limbaugh has had on this country. He was, I got to tell you something, folks, that man single-handedly saved the AM radio in America. Rush Limbaugh did that. His talk radio program was phenomenal, and it was it changed the way we look at radio and the radio industry. And I think Rush Limbaugh, more than anything else, illustrated and demonstrated the power that talk radio has to influence the culture. I mean, when you think about this, Rush Limbaugh shaped the modern day conservative movement. That was Rush Limbaugh who did that. And I remember as a young college kid listening to Rush for the very first time. I was a young kid. I was a conservative. I didn't know anybody else who shared the sorts of political views and opinions that I had. And one day, a buddy of mine called me up. We went to the Baptist Student Union together, and he called me up and he said, "Hey, you've got to check out this guy named Rush Limbaugh." And his program at the time was on WGST in Atlanta. And I listened to Rush, and I was just overwhelmed. It was, you know, it was a fascinating show. It was compelling content, and it was funny. It was entertaining. And I remember when we started doing this program, when the folks over at Fox News sat down with me and said, "Hey, we want you to do a 3-hour talk show." And I remember all the things that Rush Limbaugh used to do. And I wrote those down. And one of the things that Rush never did was just yell at people for 3 hours. Rush was entertaining. Rush knew the power of this medium. The idea that in radio, you can actually have a relationship with somebody over the radio waves. You cannot do that in any other broadcast medium except radio. So we're going to open up the phone lines. And I know many of you folks grew up listening to Rush, and I would love to hear your Rush Limbaugh stories. What do you think Rush Limbaugh meant to this country? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And we're going to be posting some information about Rush on our website, toddstarns.com, in just a few moments. But here's the information we know. Catherine, Rush's wife, made the announcement on the Rush Limbaugh program just a few moments ago. He was 70 years old, grew up in the heartland of Missouri, Cape Girardeau, just up the Mississippi River from us here in Memphis, Tennessee. And it was interesting. A lot of people may not realize this, but my agent and for a very long time was David Limbaugh, Rush's brother, and just a great salt of the earth man. And when I got my, I don't know if you want to call it big break in radio, I was anchoring and I was news director of a radio station in Jackson, Tennessee, and I got hired by a station out in California. This is a kind of a weird story, but it's a neat story because it's about Rush. So I was news director of a small radio station in Jackson, Tennessee. And some opportunities came available. One was in Denver, Colorado, and the other was in Sacramento, California. And so I had sent my audition tape to both of the radio stations. And when I got a telephone call one day from the Denver station, and the program director called me and she said, "You know, Todd, we've listened to your tape and your content sounds amazing. You've got all this great writing ability. You've got this personality. But the problem is your voice." And I was kind of surprised. I'm like, "What do you mean? What's wrong with my voice?" And she said, well, it's your Southern accent. And she said, Todd, your Southern accent is, it would offend our listeners in Colorado, in Denver, Colorado. And I was stunned. I had no idea. And I said, well, what do you, how bad is it? She says, Todd, I'm going to be surprised if you're able to get a job anywhere west of the Mississippi River, unless it's Texas. She says, your voice, you know, people are not going to take you seriously if you have a Southern accent. And I was somewhat stunned. I didn't think, you know, I didn't think my voice was bad, but I am a Southerner. So anyway, I said, well, what do you reckon? And she wasn't being mean about it. She wasn't being nasty. She was actually trying to be helpful in her own way. And she said, well, I know a voice coach in Nashville and at Vanderbilt University, and they might be able to help you get rid of your Southern accent. Well, I was somewhat devastated. And I thought, well, that's it. I'll just be working in Tennessee for the rest of my life, and I'll be okay with that. Well, about a week later, I got a telephone call from a guy named Ken Cole over at KFBK in Sacramento. Now, that's a big radio station. As a matter of fact, it is the radio station where Rush Limbaugh got his start. And the program director said, hey, we love your stuff. We want you to come, and we want you to work for us at KFBK in Sacramento. And I told the guy, I'm like, well, that's really nice of you, but did you listen to my tape? Are you okay with the Southern accent? He goes, man, we love that Southern accent. It gives you a little bit of character, flair. Come on out to California. And off I went. And it was, I got to tell you, walking into that building for the first time and thinking to myself, man, this is where Rush Limbaugh walked into the front door. Wow, this is the same studio where Rush Limbaugh sat to do his show in Sacramento. And it was just a wonderful experience, and great people. And Rush Limbaugh, a great man, did so much good for this country. Hey, I want to go to the phones real quick. Let's go to Jacksonville, North Carolina. Lindsay is listening to us on The Talk Station. Lindsay, I hear you're a big Rush fan.
I am. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to say, you know, I was bored out of my mind when I first started listening to Rush Limbaugh because I was so, so young, and my parents would play it when we were driving in the car. But even though I was bored with the talking part, he was so entertaining, and I was always finding myself listening just a little bit more because he was such an entertainer. But he did teach me at a young age, when I really started to see the value in what he was saying. He taught me that it was okay, even as a child, to question our leadership, the people who we elect as our leaders. It's okay to question them regardless of whether they're Democrat or Republican. And when I saw that as a young child, I really started seeing the importance of who you vote for and what you vote for. And it's something, Lindsay, that I have taught my students and Lindsay, taught my children.
Lindsay, hold on. I want to hold you over over the break here. We've got to take a quick break. Can you do that? Can you hang on? And we're going to get back to you, Ruth in Tulsa. We are celebrating Rush Limbaugh today, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. A very sad day for all of us, not just in talk radio, but all around the country, as we got word just a few moments ago that Rush Limbaugh, America's anchorman, has died. And we are taking your calls about Rush and the impact he had on America, the impact he had in your life. And we're going to just open up the phone lines. I know a lot of my colleagues in the talk radio world are going to be phoning in throughout the program as well. And I'm telling you something, Rush Limbaugh influenced me. He had a profound impact on my life as a kid growing up in America. Rush Limbaugh showed me that I was not just some sort of an anomaly. I wasn't just out there on an island. But there were so many other people that shared my beliefs, and it was okay to talk about those beliefs. It was okay, as one of our callers just said, to question authority. and to ask those tough questions. But more importantly, Rush Limbaugh was entertaining. And we have tried to emulate that on this radio program. You know, we want people to listen to this show and, yeah, we're going to talk about the tough issues of the day every single day, noon to 3 Eastern. That's what we do. But we also want to have fun when we do it. And I am just so grateful for that. I'll never forget when Bo Sturdley, we struck up a friendship on Twitter, and just what a great guy he is. And we want to be praying for the entire Limbaugh family and the entire radio family at the Excellence in Broadcasting Network, EIB. And I'm telling you, it's got to be some reunion in heaven right now. Rush Limbaugh is no longer suffering, and he is no doubt getting ready to look for the wherever the radio station might be beyond the pearly gates. 844-747-8868. I want to go back to Lindsay in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Lindsay's listening to us on the talk station. And Lindsay, I'm so sorry we had to take a break, but I was curious. You mentioned that you are right?
Yes.
All right. And how did Rush influence you?
Rush, I would say, single-handedly taught me, even as a young child, that just because somebody is placed in a position of leadership, even if they're an elected official, that that doesn't necessarily mean that they were the best person to be put in that position, and that it's important to question why we are making the choices we are to vote for somebody. So many of my students say, well, my parents are Democrats, so that's the way I would vote. Or my parents are Republicans, that's the way I would vote. But when you really ask kids questions, why? What does that mean to be one or the other? And why does that make one better than the other? They really don't know what to say. And I remember, especially during the Bill Clinton years, Rush would play the Wanderer song, but he changed the words to philanderer.
Yeah,
and I remember asking, it was hilarious. And of course, I didn't know what that meant. And I remember asking my parents, well, why is that so funny? And when I figured it out, I thought, my gosh, how could these people make this guy who's doing this to his family president of the United States? And I really just started to pay attention to the character of the people who we put in leadership positions. And I thought it was so important to look at that rather than just, the politics behind it. And I really would challenge, I mean, there will never be another Rush. And it's hard to even imagine a life without Rush right now. But I would challenge anybody with a public platform the way that he had to really try to tap into how they're speaking to children. It's not just adults that are listening. So many children are home now doing virtual schooling and homeschooling because of COVID. Those kids are listening. They're hearing this. And you have such a great platform to really be such an influence on their shaping their political views. I really, I think if we can take anything out of losing Rush, take that challenge on. To just pour into our kids.
You know, Lindsay, it is such just a beautiful tribute you have there, and you're spot on, accurate here. This is, Rush was not just about yelling into a microphone. He was educating people, and you're right. There were so many young kids who grew up listening to Rush. They became ditto heads. I was one of them. I remember back in the day when Rush was so popular that a lot of restaurants around the Atlanta area would host Rush Limbaugh listening hours during the lunchtime. You could go in, grab a sandwich, and you could listen to Rush on the radio in the restaurant. And it was quite the experience. Lindsay, I can tell you this. We're gonna keep doing what we're doing on this radio program. And we love Rush, and we love what he did for this country. Lindsay, God bless you, and thank you for listening to the talk station.
Thank you, and I just want to encourage any teachers who are listening to you right now, put Rush's book in your classroom.
Well said. Lindsay, God bless, and give us a call back one of these days. Let's go to, my good friend Jeff Stein just called in from Waterloo, Iowa, KXEL, the big blowtorch of Iowa. Jeff, I know you guys carry Rush, and it just must be such a heartbreaking day for you guys.
Literally, Todd, that is what we sent out on Twitter, that our hearts are broken. It was such a stunner to hear Rush's wife, Catherine, begin the program today with this news. It was wildly appropriate, of course, but it was still something unexpected. You know, he had been on the air literally 2 weeks ago, and there was no indication, at least he did not give any indication, that it was this serious, although there had been some statements that he had made that could lead you to read the tea leaves. But of all the tributes that you may hear, the radio station most people are listening to us on right now owes its very survival to Rush Limbaugh.
That's right, and it does.
And I'll explain that briefly, and if you already have, I apologize. But in the 1980s, AM radio was in a world of hurt because people were listening to music on that newfangled FM thing. And music just frankly sounded better on FM. My station ran country music, but it didn't sound as good as the FM playing country music down the street. And then this Limbaugh guy came on and truly invented modern spoken word radio. That's what I call it, spoken word radio as opposed to music. And it begat all of these other formats and programs, and he saved AM radio. Stations, people don't remember this, Todd, you will, but stations were going off the air because they couldn't compete. And just as radio had to reinvent itself when television came along, AM radio had to reinvent itself when FM came along. And if it weren't for Rush Limbaugh, again, this radio station probably wouldn't be on the air today. And so never mind the impact he had on the conservative movement, on political thought and discourse in this country, that's legendary. But from a very selfish standpoint, people listening to us on the radio now, it's thanks to Mr. Limbaugh.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Jeff. And, you know, it's, you know, when I go back and you listen to those early shows and the parodies, Jeff, I just got a message from our good friend Paul Shanklin. Paul is the guy who does all of the parody songs for Rush's show. So all those things, the Philanderer song that our caller from Lindsay from North Carolina was talking about, Paul wrote those things. And Paul actually lives here in the Memphis area. And unfortunately, you know, he's under contract, or otherwise he would be able to call into our program. But he's going to be posting a tribute to Rush on his Facebook page here in the next few moments. But those kinds of things, Jeff, were never done in radio from a political perspective.
One of the things that Mr. Limbaugh always pointed out was he started as a disc jockey. I started as a disc jockey. I didn't know any better. I was a high school kid. But he took the sensibility. Because if you think about somebody who plays music on a program, they have fun. Well, what's wrong with having fun while you're still talking about the serious issues of the day?
That's right.
Comedy and satire has been a tremendous part of our political discourse over time. But he's the one, with the assistance of people like Mr. Shanklin, obviously, who's such a brilliant talent, he's the one who said, you know, we can talk about contemporary issues and not be boring. And that was just such a breath of fresh air. Because, again, it had never been done. And, yes, some others do it today. Obviously, his program, different 30 years in than when he started, because we all change as we age and perhaps mature. But, again, this just was not done. And that's the thing, Bob, for young folks to understand. This was not done until he did it starting in, 1988, as I recall.
That's right. Yeah, it's and you know, again, I first heard him on WGST, and they used to call that the News Monster back in the day in Atlanta, going toe-to-toe. You know what's interesting about that, Jeff? Folks, I hope you don't mind if we get into the industry weeds here. But WGST and WSB in Atlanta had a fierce radio war going on for listeners, and WSB was like a 50,000 watt blowtorch, and then you had WGST, which you could barely hear outside of the city limits in the daytime hours. And Jeff Stein, do you know that when Rush Limbaugh came on to WGST, they whipped WSB in the ratings? It was remarkable, but it goes to the big story here, which it's all about the content, and Rush Limbaugh delivered that content every single day.
And, you know, he mentioned on his programs that he might not be able to be there one day or another because, sure, he could have shown up and done a half-baked job, not feeling well, not great attention to the news, or he might have only done an hour a day, but he wouldn't do that. It was all in, Todd. It was either I'm doing 3 hours and they're all good, or I'm not going to diminish my legacy, but more importantly, I'm not going to take my audience for granted. And yes, the audience would have been hungry to hear him, even for a few moments. But the reality of the situation is he really cared. And let me tell you very briefly of something that I know here at my radio station, KXDL. We carry the Todd Stern Show in the evenings and are proud to do it. During the day, we had Rush Limbaugh. Our competitors down the road would run Rush on a tape delay, 2 hours late. Okay, so if you wanted to hear him live, you'd listen to our station. Well, the ratings show, and it's just, you can plot it on a map. People listened here, and then when he was off the air, our audience would drop, and theirs would increase by the same amount. And I would have people who call and say, I listened to Rush on your station, and then I flip over and listen to it again in case I miss something. Now, my friend, if you can get what we call in radio TSL, time spent listening, if you can get an audience member to voluntarily listen to you a second time, you've done something, brother.
All right. Jeff, we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate your great words and your friendship. And, of course, you are one of our regular fill-ins on this radio program, and we sure do appreciate your great support.
Todd, thank you for the invitation, and thank you for the opportunity to talk to Starnes Nation today.
All right. Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen, program director at KXEL, the great news talk station in Waterloo, also our great affiliate. Real quick, let's go to Ruth in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ruth, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I've been listening to Rush since 1990, and you know what it's like finding your best friend. I've heard that when God wants to bless a nation, he raises up a voice. And I believe he did bless this nation through the voice of Rush Limbaugh. Because Rush was actually the foundational repairing in the breach of all our conservative values, the values that built this country. And your call before, he was absolutely right. AM radio was just about dead when Rush showed up. My brother was a DJ. And at any rate, I would listen to Rush. He wouldn't tell me what to think, but he would articulate what I've had in my heart for a long time and help me to navigate a lot of the sound bites of fake news, you know? Reagan, Thatcher, and Pope John Paul II were credited with taking down the Berlin Wall. Well, I tell you, Rush Limbaugh should be credited with taking down the wall of ignorance that was built by abusive politicians in this country. And he made us think and made us look and question and really, you know what, size up what we really believed and what we were willing to stand up for. And
well said.
I pray that every one of your listeners here would ask God, what gifts have you placed in me? And how can I take those gifts into our society and implement the changes that are necessary, you know, as a legacy to what they got from Rush and from all of talk radio. It's not easy. He drew a lot of flack because of it.
Oh, he did.
But I tell you, he absolutely did. But I tell you, this year I lost two of my brothers and a third, Rush. And I am so grateful to God for all of them. I really am.
Ruth, thank you for those very kind and thoughtful words. And God bless you. Thank you for being a listener of this program. Folks, we've got to take a quick break. Your call's coming up, 844-747-8868. This is The Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
night, mega dittos, America, as we remember our favorite anchorman, America's anchorman, Rush Limbaugh, who went to heaven. And the news coming down just as this radio program was starting the broadcast day. A lot of you folks on hold, hang tight. I want to go to Wyatt, who works at the Nevada Talk Network. They carry our program across the incredible state of Nevada. And Wyatt, I didn't realize this, but I understand you worked with Rush back in Kansas City.
Back in Kansas City in the middle of a cornfield in Overland Park, Kansas, when he was still Jeff Christie.
Jeff Christie, that was the DJ name.
That was the DJ name because he was the program director of the FM, which was a Disco 98. And he produced a Sunday night talk show. And I was he did a Sunday night talk show. I produced the show for him. He used to say he loved having me, same kind of story as you just told a little while ago. He said he used to love me having me around because I made him sound like a bass baritone. But then, you know, I've always said I have the face for radio and the voice for silent pictures. But he was a delight, and it frustrated him because in that point in time, we still had to deal with the fairness doctrine. The unfairness doctrine is what Mike want to refer to it. And he would have guests on from Right to Life, and then he would have people on from Planned Parenthood. And then the Right to Life people would demand equal time, and then the Planned Parenthood. So it was a loop that you couldn't get out
of. Oh, yeah. No, you could not. You could not get out of that, Wyatt. Just unbelievable.
And so, you know, the Sunday night talk show, that frustrated him. When that all broke loose, you know that's where it all came about. It all happened, and I was fortunate enough when I purchased a radio station for a short period of time in Florida. We flipped to talk. It was a nostalgia station that we flipped to talk, and it drove some of the people crazy. But there were people who would strain to listen to us when we had transmitter problems. They would strain to listen to us because they knew that their talk shows were there and they weren't going to hear them anywhere else.
Wyatt, I hate to do this, but you know the business better than I do. That music means we've got to take a break for the news. And I want you to give us, if you could hang on, I want to finish the conversation. Folks, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We've got another full hour, 2 hours on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back.